Morning, Happy New Year. Welcome to our Chinese New Year service today. Right, and since it's Chinese New Year, I will just give you a very quick take on the Chinese culture. Right? Please allow me to do that. If you're not Chinese, even better. You will learn about Chinese culture today. Alright, one important aspect. Ang Bao, we're all familiar with that. Hong Bao, okay. Red color. Red color food, wedding or empress. Okay, it also could be a wedding or a Chinese New Year or shirt for men, traditional. And you have snacks and koi. Guess what? In red color as well. Right? Is that all? Yes. So what is obvious here? Friends, obsessed with Chinese culture is very obsessed with the color. Red. You don't believe me? Look at Becky and June. Wow. Let's give them a round of applause, huh? Red Chong Sam. If we were to ask Mr. Google a quick question, you'll get a quick reply from Mr. Google as well. Why red? Well, red, according to Chinese culture, red is synonymous with prosperity, red is for protection, and so on. Alright? But today, I'm going to show you that red. That prosperity and protection, all that's true, but friends, that is not complete yet. Alright? Let me sidetrack a bit. Okay? 10 years ago, China was booming. Don't worry about this yet, I'll explain. 10 years ago, China was booming in economic sense and in every other sense as well. Alright? So I'm from the 10% of the Chinese in Malaysia who actually do not able to read or write Mandarin or Chinese language, all right? 10%. So I'm the minority. And at the same time, even 10 years ago, I love movies. So when you love movies and you want to learn Mandarin, what do you do? Watch China dramas, right? That's one of the quick things I could do. All right, because I wanted to be like Brother Chun Han, you're over there, right? Brother Chun Han, I got to know him a long time ago, too. He's very fluent in English as well as the Chinese language. So he's very blessed, all right? So, 10 years ago, when I tried to watch China drama movies, episode 1 itself, I already felt boring and wanted to fall asleep. Okay? So it did not work. Fast forward 10 years later, 2018, just last year, right? Just last year, I was introduced to this China drama movie, right? It's San Shen and San Si. Okay? Three lives, three worlds, and I got the picture here as well. This movie, not only did I got through the first episode, but I watched the entire, guess how many episodes? I watched the entire 58 episodes. Wow. Wow. So I did learn a bit of Mandarin there, okay? And Dixon, where are you? Dixon. Not here, never mind. Let's tell him. I'm trying to catch up with him. Alright, trying to. Alright. By the way, these Three Lives, Three Worlds was actually a box office drama for 217 in the China market. So then I was told that 90% Chinese in Malaysia, many of them have watched this drama. Is that true? Quick survey. How many of you watched this drama? Nobody, right? So that statistics, not very true. Anyway, again, tell Dixon, if he runs out of ideas of what to do on the dating game the coming Saturday, just watch one episode of this drama. All settled, right? So it's actually a love story. Okay, but let me introduce to you another one, which I also watched recently. Its title is Fu Yao. Wow. All right, this is my personal favorite because I watched more than 10 drama series. Really. Wow, more than 10, completely every episode, right? And I find that this particular one is a notch above, a class above the rest. Wow. I was surprised, right? This drama series actually literally knocked me off my chair, so to speak. All right? Why? Because of his fantastic directing from the directors. I was told there were three directors. All right? There were beautiful costumes. If any of you love those beautiful emperor, empress, concubine costumes, right? They have it all there. They are also obsessed with the red color, if you could see. All right? And of course, being a guy, I was really impressed with their mind-blowing action choreographies throughout the episodes. And guess how many episodes? 66 episodes. Wow. Right. And guess what? Confession. I watched it twice. In 1 year. Right. It was that good. Okay. But Church, what's important today is not the movies, but I want to highlight two important things here, from this movie itself. I believe the Chinese culture is obsessed with the red color for certain reason. It's not only that, it doesn't stop there. Even in their culture, in their movies, in their fantasy novels, the writers, they are also obsessed with certain things, right, that has to do with what we are going to share tonight. Number one, in this movie, one of the important highlights to me is it shows that love, L-O-V-E, love conquered everything. Love, in fact, conquered the greatest evil in the world in this movie context. Wow. Right? That is number one. And number two, which I even like it even more, and which I believe this has a lot to do with today's message. In one of the chapters in this movie, well, a quick summary. This movie, there are five kingdoms, all right, featured in this movie, all different backgrounds. But in one of the kingdoms, the kingdom was in turmoil, as usual in such movies, and the empress finally saved that kingdom, as usual in such a movie. But how the empress saved the kingdom, or her kingdom, was by using her blood. B-L-O-O-D. Her blood saved the kingdom. Alright? So, I'd like to tie in by telling you, church, that the color red for the Chinese is not just prosperity and protection. The color red is a color of blood. Alright? And even in Chinese fantasy novels, they mention, right, that blood can save people. Blood can save kingdoms, as it's red in color. Right? The Chinese might not know it, or they might not realize it, but actually, they were referring to this church. Alright? Let me show you. They were referring to the blood of the Lamb, the blood of Jesus Christ. Right? And that will be our topic of sharing today. Let us pray. Father God, we just thank you, we just praise you for today, for gathering us once again. Lord, we just commit this time into your hands. Lord, we pray that you minister to both the speaker and all the hearers this morning. Lord, speak to our hearts, Lord, because your word says that your word is life. Your word is life to us. And Lord, we pray that even during this Chinese New Year season, we'll be able to learn more about you today, we'll be able to love you more today, and we'll be able to understand, right, the meaning of the blood of the Lamb. And all this we pray in Jesus' great mighty name. Amen. Church, what happened at Calvary 2,000 years ago when the blood of the Lamb was shed at the cross? It was the greatest, most significant event ever in the history of mankind and the universe. Why? Because it saved all. The blood of Jesus is save all. And the good news is, church, you and I, we are also part of it. Why? Because if we believe, we too will be saved. Amen? So today, I'm going to go take us through, right, five aspects of the blood of the Lamb, the blood of Jesus Christ, right? What does it do? What is it all about? You want to hear that? Okay? Let's go through it, because somehow, when we spend Chinese New Year the next few days, celebrate Chinese New Year the next few days, we are going to see a lot of red, right? At least now, after today, we will understand what the red means and how it's associated to us as believers in Jesus Christ. Okay, let us read out this verse together. Right? This is found in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. Okay? It says here, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. So, church, number one, the blood of the Lamb, the blood that was shed at Calvary, talks about redemption. What is redemption? Here is Jesus redeeming you and I through the shedding of his blood. He's redeeming us at a great price, at a great cost of his own life. Alright? Why do we need redemption? Okay? We need redemption because you and I, we don't deserve it. Right? At one point of time in our lives, you and I, we were in sin. We were sinful people. Okay? You and I, many of us were even lost in our sin. Okay? And Jesus came 2,000 years ago, right? Shed his blood at Calvary, And that is why the Bible says that you and I, we are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Right? It's through the grace of Jesus that we can have faith in the event at Calvary. And that's why you and I, including me and myself, are standing here today testifying, okay, of the redemption power of Jesus, of the salvation of our souls. Right? Well, some of us might think, okay, salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ, that's great, right? But some of us might think that some of us feel that sin, some of the things are might be too deep, or some of us think that our life were too sinful. Could God save us? Or could God wash away our sins? Could Jesus do that? What do you think the answer is? What do you think? Let's say we find someone who is very deep into sin. Can God save that person? The answer is a definite yes, right? Because in the Word of God, it says this, right? God will remove our transgressions as far as the east is from the west, right? It's one of the words in the Bible, okay? So it shows that no matter what we have done, no matter what we have did, or no matter what we have not done, the shedding of the blood of Jesus at Calvary washes away all our sins. Amen? All right? Just a quick testimony. I know of there's one pastor, right, around in Penang. Okay? Before he accepted Christ, he was living a life that is would be rather surprising to many of us. All right? He was involved in gangsterism. He was, at one point in his life, was also involved in drugs, right? At one point in his life, was even sent to prison, all right? And you can say that he did all those so-called ungodly and a sinful lifestyle and so on, right? But nevertheless, God's redemptive power, okay? God's power of redemption still touched his life, all right? So much so that after he was touched by God, okay, his life changed, turned around 360 degrees, right? Or even more than that. He totally left the sinful lifestyle and followed God. And today, he's a very successful pastor and a prophet as well in the ministry. Amen? So if God can use people like that with such a sinful past, right, to serve him today, the good news is, church, you and I, God can use us. Right, he'll redeem us at a great price, no doubt. After that, God will use us. Okay, and before I go to the next point, just to lighten down a bit, some of you look very serious. Maybe it's because of the title, the blood of the lamb, right? But let me tell you some this is a true story. All right, about my own family. Okay, it might sound a bit far fetched because it happened so long ago, but nevertheless, it's a true story. Okay, one fine day, many, many years ago, my great-grandfather, wow, that's how far back, great-grandfather, all right, he was actually born in China, but at a young age, he was sent to Malaysia, all right, alone by himself to work, right, and of course, his advantage at that point of time, talking about maybe perhaps the 1910s or 1920s, right, that far back, during that time when he was sent to Malaysia all alone, right, I guess that he worked very hard, that he was successful. One of the reasons was because he was educated, even though he was in China at that time. So being educated, he had the opportunity. And in 1920s, there are lots of business opportunities out there. And he was successful in business and became a successful businessman. Right, and I'm sure any of us here doing a Chinese New Year gathering with our families, right, if you were to trace back your roots to China, you'll find such stories everywhere, not just in Penang. For my case, my great-grandfather was in Penang, right? For your case, it could be any part of Malaysia where the Chinese community, the first generation of Chinese came in. Many of them came to do business. Many of them were successful as well, right? So we have heard this many times. But for my case, at the later years of my great-grandfather's life, right, I was told that he actually passed away quite young. But at his later stage of his life, he did manage to say something profound, I would say, to my obviously not to me, obviously I've not met him, but to my grandfather, right? And this event was related to me by my grandfather when he was still alive. Okay, he told me this. He told me that his father told him, what will, as these are the exact words, what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and yet loses his soul? Wow, profound, okay? Yeah, this is a verse from the Bible, actually. What will it profit a man if you were to gain the whole world and yet you lose your soul, right? And I think this is one of the great legacy that he has left, because after saying that to my grandfather probably told that to my father, I suppose, but he himself personally told me as well, all right? So whether I like it or not, somehow it touched my life a bit, all right? That the world, yes, money is important, but is money more important? Is our soul more important? Or is our soul more important? Think about it. Think about it. Okay? You can even gain the whole world, but if you lose our soul, right, it's not worth it, right? Okay? It's not rocket science. Common sense will tell us it's not worth it. Because our soul lives for 70, 80 years? No. Our physical life lives 70, 80 years. Our soul lives forever. Eternity, right? So think about that. Okay, the bread of the Lamb. Number two. I'm going to read out Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. Right? Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, the event that was happened at Calvary, the blood that was shed at Calvary 2,000 years ago, other than redemption, number two is fellowship. And I can never stress enough how important this is. Fellowship. A bit of background here. Alright? In the Old Testament, only the priests in the Old Testament has a so-called the opportunity or the privilege to have fellowship with God. Okay? So-called, alright? The Old Testament priests. Because only the priests in the Old Testament can enter the Holy of Holies in the tabernacle of God. Alright, so in the Old Testament days, you have a tabernacle of God, right? It's all a lot of rituals, right? And all the rituals are performed by the Old Testament priests. And only the priest can enter into the presence of God, which is one part of the tabernacle, the innermost portion, called the Holy of Holies. Alright, and for your information, only even then, the priest only allowed to enter the Holy of Holies, guess how often? They only allowed to enter only once a year. That was the Old Testament. Alright? To have fellowship, so-called fellowship with God. Okay? How about us today, New Testament Christians? Do you and I, do we have access to the Holy of Holies? Do we have a direct access to God? In the Old Testament, the people were taught that only the priests have direct access to God. Normal people, common people do not have access, direct access to God. Right? New Testament, do we or do we not have direct access to God? That is the question. Right? And the answer is this. When Jesus was hung on the cross 2,000 years ago, all right, and when he voluntarily gave up his life, gave up his spirit, right? FYI, church, Jesus was not so-called murdered. No one could kill him, even if they wanted to. Jesus was not so-called forced to go to a cross. No such thing. Jesus voluntarily went to the cross because of his love for you and I. Why? And why do I say that? Because in the Bible it says there, at any one time, right? If Jesus needed help at any one time, Jesus could call down the angels, the cavalry of the armies of the angels of God from heaven, down from heaven to help him at any one time. Right? No devil, no armies, no King Herod could even touch him, actually. He could, at his command, the armies of the angels of heaven probably will be led by Michael. Michael, where are you? Okay, that's Angel Michael, right? Probably, he was an archangel. And they would come down and no army could withstand Jesus. But Jesus did the unthinkable, right? Because he was virtue of being God, he did unthinkable by offering himself up, volunteering up his life for you and I 2,000 years ago at the cross. Amen? All right? And when he hung at the cross, and when he finally gave up his last breath, what did Jesus say? Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Amen? And even at his last breath, his last thought was to forgive us. Right? That is why I mentioned earlier on, what happened at Calvary 2,000 years ago is the most significant event ever in the history of mankind or ever in the history of this universe. Okay? And after Jesus gave out his last breath, you know what happened? There was an earthquake. Right? If you read the Bible, there was an earthquake. All right? So the ground began to shake. Right? But what's important is not the earthquake. What is important, church? At that time, when Jesus hung the cross, the Israelites, they still have the tabernacle, right? The tabernacle of God, okay? And what separated the outer area from the Holy of Holies was a thick curtain, right? A curtain, or you call it a veil, okay? So during the earthquake, after Jesus gave up his spirit, he gave up his life voluntarily, the temple veil, guess what? The temple veil was torn in two. And that is very significant for us, New Testament Christian Church. You know what that means? It means that the veil that is hindering us from direct access to God, the veil that is covering up the Holy of Holies, was torn. And that means, church, you and I, once you and I believe in Jesus, you and I are just like the old priests of the Old Testament. You and I have direct access to God. Amen? That is why you and I today, every morning, you and I, we can bow down on our knees and worship God. Yes? And when we do that, many a times we feel the presence of God. And let me tell you, church, all this would not have been possible without the act that was by Jesus at Calvary. Alright? It would not have been possible if the veil was not torn. That is the significance of what happened 2,000 years ago. And church, fellowship here, fellowship in the every nation church DNA is fantastic, right? We have a great fellowship with one another, don't we? Every nation churches, and it's not just Penang, it's not just Puchong. I believe in every nation churches, they are right in their DNA, so right smack in their DNA is a great fellowship with one another. And all of you, I'm sure you agree with me. Visitors, yes, that's our DNA, right? Every nation DNA. Fellowship with one another. That's great, right? Because the word of God, Jesus says that love one another, right? So how do you love one another? By having fellowship, right? It's not possible to love one another, but do not meet up at all, right? It's quite impossible to love one another and don't show anything, right? Okay, so fellowship is one thing we do here. But let me reiterate, even more important than this is this church, is our fellowship with who? It is our fellowship with the King of Kings and with the Lord of Lords. And there's none other than Jesus, God. Jesus is God. Our fellowship with Jesus and God, that is important. That is what that sustains us, church. Because, you know, as Christians, all right, we know, as Christians, what the day we became a Christian, was it the day that all our problems disappear? Was it the day when we became Christian, all our problems was resolved? Was it the day when we became Christian, all our financial difficulties were resolved? All our family issues were resolved? Yes or no? No, right? Yes, upon believing in Jesus, we have salvation. But let me tell you, church, the problems are all there. The challenges are still all there, right? So if that is the case, how do we overcome it? How do we face all these challenges? How do we sustain ourselves in the mix of challenges, right? Because the God of this world is still out there trying to get us all the time. How do we sustain our Christian walk with God? How do we sustain our faith in God? Let me tell you, it's still back to this. The presence of God in our lives. Right? We need to feel the presence of God in our lives. And that will sustain us through every difficulty, through every challenges. Very quickly, I'll just quote one quick example, right, from the Old Testament. How many of us know King David? King David is the most famous king, I would say, in the Old Testament, right? He's the most famous king among the Israelites, least and generation of kings, right? The most famous one was actually King David, right? And why was King David the most famous? Well, I would say that he excelled, right, even at an early young age. How many of us have heard the story of David and Goliath? That one, I think you've heard about this much more than the movies I mentioned just now, right? You have all heard about David and Goliath, right? Okay, how David slew Goliath, the giant. Okay, yes, it was God who enabled David to do that. But David did that at a very young age. He was only about 17 years old when he conquered his Goliath. Okay, so for all the youth out there, if you think you're only 17 years old, you can't do much for God or things like that, you are wrong. Okay, even at 17 years old, let me tell you, David has started his ministry that day. Right, he conquered the Goliath in his life and showed the entire Israelites not how mighty David was, but how mighty the God that David served was. Right, because David gave all glory to God when he slew Goliath. Okay, it wasn't by his own strength. The Bible says it's not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit of the Lord. All right, it was God who enabled David to slew his Goliath. Okay, so that was King David. He was famous because of that. All right, and he was so famous for many other things. At 30 years old, he became the king of Judah. At 37, he became the king of the entire nation of Israel. All right, entire tribe of Israel. And as king, he was very successful. He conquered many nations. He won many battles. All right, but let me tell you one thing, church. One thing. I believe the Bible is all true, it's all good. One aspect is because the Bible does not hide anything. Have you guys noticed it? The Bible does not hide anything. Whatever good that David did is recorded in the Bible. Whatever things that are not so good that David did, was it recorded in the Bible as well? Yes. All right? Yes. Okay? So, unfortunately, King David himself was also infamous for the issue of committing adultery and murder, right, at one point of his life. Okay, and to cut a long story short, David committed a great sins in his life, even though he was a very high and mighty and popular king, right, but he's still human, I guess, right, he's just like you and I. As I say, the Bible does not hide anything, okay, he still fell into sin, and that is why some of us, we also fall into sin sometimes, right, okay. Am I speaking to the right crowd here? All right, we do fall into sin sometimes, right? Amen? All right, not amen to sin, but amen that we are still humans, just like King David. Okay, the question is, church. The question is not when we will fall into sin. We will fall into sin because of sinful nature at certain times in our life. The question is, how do we get out of it? All right, how do we get out of it when we fall into sin? All right, how do we get out of it? How did David get out of it? Well, David had strongly repented. David strongly repented from his sins. So whenever a Christian sins, the first thing, when we realize it, the first thing we should repent from our sinful nature, just like David, all right? Repented. Real repentance, right? Not just half-hearted repentance, but real repentance. Okay? Because how many of us know that when we sin, our fellowship with God is hindered again? All right, in the spiritual realm, okay, when we have sin in our lives, let me tell you, when we have a sinful aspect in our life, if we try to pray and all that, do all the spiritual stuff, let me tell you, there'll be some hindrance, and you will feel it. You can feel it, right? So the only way to get rid of this hindrance of having this back to original fellowship with God is to do this, is to repent. Just like David did. They repented, right? Real repentance, right? And the highlight of the draw two is, when David committed sin, at that point of time, he still had his fame and fortune. Right? Okay, let me say it again. When David committed the sinful act, that time he was still famous, he was still rich. It's not that he has lost everything, no. Right? He still had everything. Right? He still had everything. He sinned, but importantly is he realized after God sent the prophet Nathan to speak to him, he admitted his what he did, and he repented, right? And when he repented, many of his prayers, many of his lamentations, can be found in the book of Psalms, right? And one of it is this, church, all right? One prayer of David, which I want to share, and in this aspect of fellowship is this. One important aspect that David prayed in Psalms is this, right? Do not remove my presence from me. David said, oh Lord, do not remove your presence from me. Right? Paraphrasing what David said. And this jives with what we are sharing today, fellowship. David knew, church, David knew, even though he had still had all the fame, even though he had still had all the fortune, even though he had still had all the concubines and wives, he realized something. If he does not have the presence of God, he is nothing. Amen. That tells us something, church. We can have everything that this world can offer. Everything, and I say everything, I mean everything, because David really had everything. All right? The best car, the best house, the best family, the best job, the best career. But just like David, we have to realize this. If we do not have the presence of God in our lives, we are tantamount. We are amount to nothing, church. David, as intelligent as he is, he realized this. And I hope that all of us can realize this as well. Without the presence of God in our lives, we are broken. We are hopeless. We are bankrupt, actually, even though we might not know it. But the good news is, it's not all doom and gloom today. The good news is, think of it the reverse. If we continue to enjoy the presence of God because of what Jesus did 2,000 years ago, because of the veil that's been torn, and we are free to enter the Holy of Holies, right? At every day that we want to, all right? If we continue to do that, church, the presence of God will be there waiting for us to sustain us. Amen? All right. Okay? Not too heavy? Okay? Still doing good? All right. All right, let's go to number three then. This one, many people love number three. Isaiah chapter 53 verse 5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed, right? We hear a lot of Christians who pray, especially in prayer meetings, in life groups, whenever someone is sick. By his stripes we are healed. Amen? Yeah, that's true. That's true, right? Jesus heals all our diseases, right? If you go into a Bible commentary, alright, and Bible scholars will tell us that Jesus received 39 stripes on his way to the cross, alright? And coincidentally, maybe it's not coincidentally, I remember many years ago, right, there was this insurance agent selling me medical card insurance that cover diseases, right? They call it critical care or something like that, right? And what struck me or what made me surprised was, you guess how many diseases was listed? At that point of time, now might be different, but at that point of time, I remember it was 39 as well. And that really struck a chord. How come Jesus got 39 stripes? Now the insurance will cover me 39 diseases also. Wow. Is that God or is it coincidence? I'd rather say it's not coincidence. It is God. Right? God knows the future. Right? God knows the future. Because I tell you, 2,000 years ago, you couldn't even count 9 diseases, but more 39, right? In those days, people were healthy. No cancer, whatnot, right? It's only nowadays there's so many diseases. Okay, but nevertheless, church, if from this verse itself, right, God heals us. God heals us, right? That is why one name of God in the Bible is called Jehovah Rapha. Rapha, okay? Rapha is healer, is wholesomeness. Right, it's completeness in our life. Right, that is why, friends, don't be surprised, or don't feel funny when you hear testimonies of many miracles and healings in the Christian kingdom. Right, in Penang, in Malaysia, in Asia, in the world. Right, because if you were to listen harder out there, you will hear testimonies of even today, not only 2,000 years ago, but even today, you will hear testimonies of the blind see, the deaf hear, the lame walk. Yes, even in 2018. Yes, even in 2019. Not just 2,000 years ago. You will hear those testimonies, right? Maybe it's not so much in Malaysia, unfortunately, but especially in countries that were persecuted, so-called, by the government and so on, by the people there. You hear many signs and wonders. Yes, it is still happening. And is it true when we hear all this, church? Is it true? Let me tell you, church, it's 100% true. Why? Why am I so sure it's 100% true? Have I seen all these miracles with my own two eyes? No, I have not. But I know, church, it is all true simply because, church, all this has been recorded in the Bible 2,000 years ago. And whatever the Word of God says, it is true and complete and wholesome. And we don't have to doubt it. Amen? We don't have to doubt it because the Word of God, Jesus himself said this, right? Jesus quoted Deuteronomy when Jesus was walking the earth, on the earth, 2,000 years ago. He quoted a lot of scriptures from the Old Testament. One of it he quoted from Deuteronomy. What did he quote? He said this, man shall not live on bread alone. Okay? But man shall live on every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Amen? Every word. Every word that proceeds from the Bible. That is what will sustain us. Alright? Even if you and I could not have much time fellowship with God, hopefully not, but if you are in that situation, don't forget to read the Word of God. Alright? The Word of God is life to us. Every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, every word that you read from the Bible grants us life. And life abundantly. Life eternal. Amen? Okay? That's the Word of God. So when you hear a testimony of healing and so on, let me tell you, those are all true. Amen? Okay. Number three was healing. Number four, what else do you think the event, the significant event 2,000 years ago did for us? The cartoon is just lightened up a bit. Okay, you all know this character? What's his name? Yes, Baymax, right? What was his main role in the movie, Baymax? What was Baymax's main role? Protection, right? Protected a lot of people, right? One of his roles. Okay, in Exodus chapter 12, verse 13. Now the bird shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the bird, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. Wow. This speaks about protection because of the bird of the lamb. Right? So that's why sometimes, in fact, not sometimes, even right to today, right? Even in Malaysia, you go to Chinese culture, the celebrating Chinese New Year, they have a red cloth over their front door, right? Okay? Let me tell you, how did they get the idea from? You ask them, they might not tell you, they might not know. Or I just follow my grandparents, or I just follow my great-grandfather follows someone from China. And let me tell you, it's not just that, church. Let me tell you, this idea was from this event, in Exodus chapter 12, verse 13. Alright? From this event. Sorry, I got very excited when I found some, you can call it revelation, I think. Okay, it's this event itself, church. Alright? That caused the Chinese to have a wake. Banner there. It's all about the bird of the lamb. Right? And this protection, the protection here in a Christian context is different from the protection of the world. Alright? You ask a Chinese culture person, the red color protection to them, it might simply mean, well, when you drive during Chinese New Year, or right, drive back to KL, some of us are driving to Singapore the way, right? Okay? Okay, they'll say red color protect you. But let me tell you, the bird of Jesus Christ will definitely protect you as well on your journey. Amen? And not only that, it's more than that. Alright? It's a protection from what? It's not just us traveling. It's not just our whatever we do. The protection here to me is complete. Alright? If I could sum it up, time is running again. If I could sum it up in three words, the protection here is this. Three words, huh? No more fear. Fearless. Oh, why you make it one word, fearless? Okay? No more fear. Why? Because as Christians, if we understand what Jesus, the significance of the cross, the significance of the shedding of the blood of the Lamb 2,000 years ago, and the significance of how God protected the Israelites, right, from the death angel, so to speak, in this context, all right? God will protect us from everything. Yes, life is still full of challenges. Yes, life is still not easy. Life is still tough. But God, the bird of the lamb, can and will and is protecting us from every aspect of our life. Amen? All right? It's just for you and I to have the faith to claim the protection of God. Amen? All right? For example, I remember Pastor, you know, many years ago when MH, the one that lost, not the one that crashed, the one that was lost. MH3? Yeah, 317, huh? Okay, when that plane was disappeared, I remember the next Sunday, Pastor asked the congregation, how many of you still there to sit on the airplane? Okay, many of us, he asked who do not dare. Some of us put our hands up. I think it was me also, because we were so frightened that time. But, church, even that would happen again. Should we be afraid to take a flight the next day? What do you think? No. The answer is no, church. We do not be afraid. Why? Because as Christians, let me tell you, despite the challenges out there, we can be fearless. Right? Was that a movie by this title? Maybe yes, maybe no. We can be fearless, all right, church? No more fear in our Christian walk. Amen? And one more point here I want to touch on is this. I read in the statistics many years ago that 50% of marriages end up in divorce. Wow. Was it true? Was it an old statistic? It was quite old, but I believe it was true. It might still be true today, especially in developed countries, right? Where sometimes we so-called developed countries, they are so developed that they can't keep their marriage as well. Right? Maybe that's a challenge. Maybe that's a price for development, all right? So my point is, church, is this. When we hear of families of such nature, for example, grandfather, grandmother, they divorce each other. Father, mother, they also divorce one another. Right? Come to their children, when children get married, what comes to your mind? It's very negative, right? But it's true. That will come to our mind. In fact, the first thing that comes to the children's, okay, imagine this, right? Imagine this. I'm not saying any of us in this category, right? Imagine this. If any one of us, our parents were divorced, our grandparents were divorced, when we get married, are we be frightened or not? Will you be frightened or not? Common sense question, right? You and I will be. We are still humans. Oh, everybody get divorced in my family. Will my marriage last or not? Okay? Let me tell you, there's such a thing as what we call in the Christian context is generation curses. Right? Generation curses works that if you're not cleansed by the blood of the Lamb, all right, it might very well happen. That's why statistics say 50%. It might even run in a family. Right? It becomes a norm in the family. That's the bad news. But the good news, church, is as Christians, because of what Jesus has done 2,000 years ago, the shedding of his blood at Calvary will wash away, will remove all generation curses or whatever curse there is in our family, line. Amen? Right? The blood of Jesus does that. Right? That's why we need not fear. Right? We can still be happily married, and don't worry, there won't be any divorce. Amen? Not because we are good, not because we are better than anyone else. No. It's because we have, remember, fellowship with God. Let me tell you, if any of us have a strong daily relationship and fellowship with God, you wouldn't even think of divorce. Right, you have no time for that. Okay. Anyway, just joking, just kidding, all right? When you have fellowship with God, you'll be so full of love. Right? You'll be loving everyone. And what more is your own spouse? Wouldn't you be loving your own spouse even more? Right? And after watching those movies that I watched, you will love your spouse even more. Amen. Alright, hopefully those who get what I mean. Good. Right. Okay, so that's it. Alright? And last point for today. Okay, do you still have space? Right? Yeah, do you have space to put in another point for today? In your spirit? Okay, anyway, this is the last one. It's always good to read the book of Revelation. The only thing is, most of us, including myself, when we read the book of Revelation, we don't understand. All right. Nevertheless, that's not an excuse, because now it's no longer 1920, but now it's 2019. Because when we read the Bible, for example, the book of Revelation, when we don't understand, what can we do nowadays? Yes, we can Google, we can have audio Bible, we can have commentaries all online. We just have to pick a good ones, right? They'll explain to us what the Revelation is all about. Amen. So right now, actually, we have actually run out of excuses for not reading the Bible. Actually, right? As soon as Mr. Google was created, okay. So right, read the Bible. Right, Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. It says this: And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, again, by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony, that they did not love their lives to the death. Right? This talks about, church, this talks about authority. All right? Overcame him. Overcame authority. Him. Him referring to who? Him is referring to the God of this world. Right? Who is the God of this world? The Bible calls it, one of the definitions, Mammon. Mammon, okay, M-A-M-M-O-N. Okay, the God of this world, the God of Mammon, a good example, right? Jesus overcame the enemy. Jesus overcame his enemy. Jesus overcame the God of the world because of what he did at Calvary 2,000 years ago. The act of allowing himself to be hung on the cross and to shed his blood and to die for mankind. That act itself put the enemies to shame. He made a spectacle of them, calling the word of God. Right? They didn't see it coming, in other words. The enemy of the world did not see it coming. If they had seen it, they would have stopped Jesus from going to the cross, but they did not see it. Right? Jesus hung the cross. To them, it was a great victory for them, but little did they know, the enemies of the world, the enemies of God, the God of the world, little did they know, the very act of being hung on the cross completely destroyed their power, completely destroyed all their plans and their purposes, and literally send them to hell. Okay? If you read the book of Revelation again. Right? That was what happened 2,000 years ago. But today, we're not going to talk about that heavy stuff. We're going to talk about authority. We have authority to overcome the enemy because of the blood of the Lamb. Church, and why do you and I need to overcome the enemy? I would think that today, perhaps in Asian context, in Malaysia context, right, in Filipino, Pinoy context as well, I think one of the God of the world right now, I think not many of us are struggling in our marriage or divorce. I don't think that's any, not many of us are in that category. But what would be challenging to us, church, today, today's context, again, is the God of the world, called Mammon. And what is that? Again, it is money. Right? It is money. Question, is money evil? Is money evil? No, right? If it's evil, can give me your money. Okay, just kidding. Money is not evil. So what is evil about money, church? Amen. You got it. It is the love of money. We all know it by heart. It is always the love at money that causes envy, that causes jealousy, that causes we make hatred, anger, backstabbing, right? Crime up with another person's head, you know, to get the new job, the new promotion, whatever it is. It's all because of the love of money, all right? Okay, and one thing, church, don't ever underestimate the love of money. Don't ever underestimate the love of money. You don't believe me? What if your neighbor buy a new BMW 7 Series? You don't believe me? What if your good friend, childhood friend, just bought a bungalow by the beach? Right here in Penang Island, not Butterworth, Penang Island. Will that cause you to feel anything different? Don't ever underestimate, all right, the love of money. But we love God, and let me tell you, God will give you the desires of a heart, at least from the Bible. Amen? If it's God's will to give you a bungalow by the sea, by all means, take it. Don't say no, right? If it's God's will to give you a BMW 7 Series, if it's God's will, take it. Right? It's because you love God. It's not because you love the car or the property. All right? So, but how do we overcome, since we are not going to underestimate the love of money, how are we going to overcome the money? Again, church, it comes with authority of what Jesus has done 2,000 years ago. Same authority. The authority of recognizing that the blood of Lamb has given us the power, the strength, and the love for God that will overcome the love of money whenever it tries to tempt us. And let me tell you, we might be rich, we might be poor, whatever definition we have for ourselves, but let me tell you, temptation of money will always come in our lives. It will always come because who is still the God of this world is still the same person. And we have to overcome it. Amen? I'll call the musicians back, right? And I'm going to sum it up before we sing our last song for today. Okay, how is everyone doing? All right? Okay, are we learning something today? Right? When we see red, what do we see? The blood of Jesus, right? And to sum it up, okay, the blood of Jesus, the blood of the Lamb, speaks of redemption, speaks about fellowship, right? Sorry, this Let's return. Okay, just give me a second. Redemption, fellowship, healing, protection, authority. Amen. And church, that is what we need, right? To have a powerful Christian walk. From this size New Year onwards, let our lives, let's live a different life, right? Let's live a life that gives glory to God. Okay, let's live a life that bears His testimony. Amen. All right, even before we sing the last song, let us pray, right? Let's have every head bow, right? Eyes closed. Let's pray before we worship God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.